Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 74, entitled The Deliverance of Shishupa, text number 47.
Ritvikbhyasa sadhasvedyo dakshinam vipulam madhat sarvam sampujya vidiva chakre va britam ekada ritvikbhyasa tadhasedyo dakshinam vipulam adha sarvam sampujya vidivach chakreva vitamekarat ritvikbhyasa sadhasebhyo dakshinam vipulam adha sarvam sampujya vidivach chakre vapitam ekara.
Sadayitva. No, sorry. This is the next word. Ritvikbhya. To the priests. Sa. Sadasyebhya. Along with the members of the assembly. Dakshinam. Gifts in gratitude. Vipulam. Abundant. Adat. He gave sarvam, all of them, sampujya, properly worshipping, vidivat, according to scriptural injunction, chakre, executed, svabhitam, the purificatory bathing of the sponsor of the sacrifice, and the washing of the sacrificial utensils that mark the end of a major sacrifice. Ekarat, the Emperor Yudhisthira. Translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Emperor Yudhisthira gave generous gifts to the sacrificial priests and the members of the assembly, properly honoring them all in the manner prescribed by the Vedas. He then took the avabhrita bath. As you might know, in definition, avabhrita snan or avabhrita bath means the purificatory bathing of the sponsor of the sacrifice and the washing of the sacrificial utensils that mark the end of a major sacrifice. That is what it means. Another time also, Maharaj Yudhisthira also performed the Rajasurya sacrifice. That was after the battle of Kurukshetra. We read in, again in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a complete description of this avabhrita bath or snan, where Yudhisthira Maharaj and all the kinsmen went and took bath, which his queens also, Draupadi, went and took bath in Ganga after the sacrifice or the Rajasuri Yajna. So again, here we see the same thing is happening. Yudhisthira Maharaj finished the sacrifice and now he's taking a bath. So we'll read the next verse.
Sadayitva kraturagya Krishna Yogeshwarishvara Uvasa Katchin Masam Suridhir Abhyasita.
Translation. that Sri Krishna, the Lord of all masters of mystic yoga, saw to the successful execution of this great sacrifice on behalf of King Yudhisthira. Afterwards, the Lord stayed with his intimate friends for a few months at their earnest request. Although Lord Krishna is the master of all masters of yoga, such as Lord Shiva, still he was controlled by King Yudhisthira's pure love. Thus the Lord personally saw to the successful completion of the king's sacrificial performances. And after that, he agreed to stay with his dear friends in Indraprastha for a few more months.
Om Ajnana Tirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Jitam Yena Tasmai Shri Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Satitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Sadayam Sadati Svasadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Bhagatamanam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vesaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Prachalide Nirvitesha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Namami Hari Te Vancha Kalpata Rubhyasa Kripa Sindhu Yehi Vacha Patitanam Pamanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I forgot to say this. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarvatim Yasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashta Prayasubhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Ruttama Shlokir Bhaktir Bhavati Nishtikim. So this is just after the killing of Shishupal and performance of Rajasuya's sacrifice. In this regard, this chapter shows what is the destination of one who is Krishna conscious. What is the destination of one who thinks of Krishna, but also It also talks about the destination of a person who not only thinks of Krishna, but also loves Krishna. There's two different meanings to this. Thinking of Krishna and not only thinking of Krishna, but also loving Krishna. There's two points to this. We know Shishupal, he was thinking of Krishna, but he wasn't a devotee. But he performed the scriptural injunction. He followed the scriptural injunction. What is that scriptural injunction? That is explained by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion. That all the rules and regulations, who knows this verse? It's in my head, but I don't, it's not out in my mouth as yet. All the rules and regulations is servant. All the rules and regulations, the whole scripture, the whole Vedas prescribe so many rules and regulations. What you should do, what you should not do. All these rules and regulations that tells us what you should do, what you should not do, should come to this conclusion. What is that conclusion? That you should always remember Krishna and never forget Him. That is the purpose of all the rules and regulations of the scriptures. In Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says that one of the detrimental points in devotional service is either following too many rules and regulations or not following any rules and regulations. So, following too many rules but missing the point. That is to remember Krishna. Or not at all following, you just totally kick out all the Vedic scripture and then live a very whimsical life. This is not at all terrible to devotional service. As Rupa Goswami says, Shadbhir Bhakti Vinashati, that actually this devotional service becomes destroyed. This is one particular point. Following too many rules or not at all following. Once Srila Prabhupada, he told his disciple, because Prabhupada said, if I told you all the rules and regulations in the Vedas or in the scriptures, you will faint. But I have made it easy for you. So the whole purpose of following all the rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, is primarily to always remember Krishna and never forget Him. And this Shishupal definitely executed. But there's another verse which is known as the Paribhasha Sutra of Nectar of Devotion. That is, that overrides this verse. Because Shishupal, although he remembered Krishna 24 hours and he never forgot Krishna, but he was a demon. This is not considered Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says another verse which overrides this verse. Anyabhilasita sunya jnana karma dinavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttama. That devotional service should be executed with no material desire. Anyabhilasita sunya. Sunya means zero. It should be zero material desires. Jnana karma dinavritam. That it should be absence from jnana or speculative knowledge. That this devotional service should be executed like this or like that by our own whimsical mind. Jagannath should be dressed totally differently. He should not have a turban on. He should have a baseball cap. This is speculation. So devotional service should be absent from any type of speculation. And should be also absent from any type of fruitive mentality. Or if I serve Krishna, if I pray to Krishna, Krishna is the Lord of Goddess of Fortune, so He'll give me so much money. Or He'll give me a beautiful wife, or He'll give me a handsome boy. This should not be the mentality of a devotee. Not only that, what is the qualification of such a person? That he always thinks of Krishna. He never forgets Krishna. But it must be done in a terrible way. It must be done in a very terrible way. So we know Rupa Goswami tells a beautiful story of when Krishna, he was sucking the milk. He was sucking the breast of Mother Yashoda. So, and he was appreciating the love Mother Yashoda was giving. Then there was the milk which was being boiled on the stove. So the milk got hot and started boiling. But you should understand, the milk in the spiritual world is also frozen. The milk was overflowing, not because it was really hot. The milk was thinking, oh, Mother Yashoda is giving milk to Krishna. What is the use of my existence? Because I'm not being able to serve Krishna. So the milk decided, I'll commit suicide by overflowing the pot. So Mother Yashoda was aware of what was going on in the stone. So what did she do? She immediately left Krishna and she went and attended the stove. Because so what do you say? Is this bearable or is it not bearable? What is your opinion? What are the opinions of the experts here? Is it bearable to what Krishna desires? Because you know that Krishna got angry. Krishna got angry and he created a whole mischief. That's why he was bound up. That's where Damodar Leela took place. So is it terrible? Please speak up. Don't be shy. Anyway. Is it terrible? Maharaji? Is it terrible? No? No? Yes? Why? Yes, you're correct. So it is terrible. Because Mother Yashoda was thinking, this is the best milk I have gathered. And with this milk, I'm going to make sweets for Krishna. So she was thinking for Krishna's benefit. Obviously, Mother Yashoda was always thinking for what is to give pleasure to Krishna. So she was thinking, oh, if this milk goes overflows and commits suicide, then it would be difficult for me to find such a milk to make sweets. So that's why Rupa Goswami considered this terrible. On the other hand, you see Kamsa, he was always thinking of Krishna, but he wasn't considered terrible. Similarly, Shishupal, although he was Krishna conscious, in the sense that he was always thinking of Krishna, but still, he still considered imperfect devotional service as such, because there's no parability. What is the destination of Shishupal? The destination of Shishupal is that he got Sarupya Mukti, that he got the same form of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Then, we know in the pastime of when Krishna killed the demoness Putana, then Shukadeva Goswami started glorifying Krishna's merciful nature. That Krishna gave the destination of Putana as a nurse in the spiritual world. And in order to give us hope, give the hope to those who are practicing devotees, Shukadeva Goswami said, what will be the destination? You can't conceive the destination of a person who renders devotional service terrible attitude. The destination, according to the acharyas held by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they say that the destination must be higher than Putana. So, you see here, Shishupal, he got the mukti, or he got liberation. He got the destination of having the same form of the Lord. But in this particular verse, we see there's an exceptional mercy that is poured from Krishna's heart to his devotee Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was unalloyed devotee. He was a Shuddha Bhakta, or pure devotee. A definition of a pure devotee, nice definition, which is mentioned in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, prayers of Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna. He explains a nature of a devotee. The nature of a devotee is that not only he does physical service, which is very good, is, you know, doing deity worship, doing cooking, or doing book distribution, doing so many physical service, but also talking about Krishna, talking. So not only body is engaged in Krishna service, but also the words are engaged in Krishna service. And not only words are engaged in Krishna service, but also the mind is engaged in Krishna service. So mind, body, and words are fully engaged in Krishna service. Krishna, as here is explained, that Krishna, he is known as the master of the mystic yoga. He is known as the master of mystic yoga. And in the purport, it explains that such personalities who are masters of yoga are like Lord Shiva, for example. Yes, Shiva was such a sense-controlled person. He perfected his yoga process so nicely that when Cupid personified came to distract Lord Shiva, that was Pradyumna in his previous life as Kandarpa, I'm not sure. So he came to distract Lord Shiva, but he couldn't distract Lord Shiva. Instead, Shiva cursed him for acting mischievously. This is how controlled Lord Shiva was. And Lord Shiva was considered the master of yoga system. But nevertheless, although he was so powerful, but nevertheless, when Krishna, he blows his flute, Lord Shiva easily gets agitated. He loses concentration of his yoga or his meditation. So that's why it is explained that Lord Krishna is the master of personalities like Lord Shiva and Brahma, because they lose their concentration of meditation, because just by hearing the sound vibration of Krishna's flute. So here we see that Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was able to conquer Krishna, who is ordinarily unconquerable. Yetra yaso jita jito pyasi taistri lokyam. Krishna, he is considered unconquerable Supreme Lord. Who can conquer the Supreme Lord? No one can conquer him. But you can conquer Krishna. There is a process to it, which Yudhishthira Maharaj perfected it. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, yeyatamam prapadyante samstatayavadajamyam, that though according to your surrender, I reciprocate with you. So if a devotee lets his mind, words, and body be conquered by Krishna, then Krishna also let himself be conquered by such a devotee. Otherwise, he remains unconquerable. So in this particular verse, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains three meanings to this. Tanuvan manobi means body, words, and mind. So in this body, words, and mind, in reference to devotees, how do they sacrifice their body to Krishna? How do they sacrifice their mind to Krishna? How do they sacrifice their words to Krishna? It's explained here. They can touch his lotus feet or render devotional service with their physical body. And then with their words, they call him. How do they call Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And with their mind, they simply think of Krishna. This is how they engage their mind, body, and words in Krishna service. But how is it Krishna becomes unconquered? It's also explained. For those who are non-devotees, they cannot conquer Krishna with their mind, they cannot conquer Krishna with their words, neither can they conquer Krishna with their body, as explained here. Despite their bodily strength, like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu wasn't able to conquer Nrisimhadev. He had all the strength of the universe, but he was able to defeat everyone in the entire creation, but he wasn't able to defeat Krishna or Lord Nrisimhadev with his bodily strength. Doesn't matter how expert you speak, doesn't matter how you can be a follower of Mayavad Shankaracharya, but when you come in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Mayavad philosophy is totally destroyed. Doesn't matter how wonderfully you juggle your words, but you cannot defeat Krishna. Neither with your mental power can you defeat Krishna. You cannot defeat Krishna by any of this through material schemes. But Krishna, in this sense, Krishna gets conquered. How does Krishna get conquered? He gets conquered by his devotees. How does Lord Krishna's body is conquered? Because he always remains by the side of his pure devotees. You know that famous verse? Lord Krishna says to Narada Muni, I am not in Vaikuntha, I am not in anywhere, I am not in the spiritual world, I am neither in anyone's heart, but I am always with the devotee. Where such a devotee is chanting Krishna's name. Very nice. So we know that Krishna, he gives his body to such a devotee. And Krishna also makes sure that he praises the devotee. Lord Krishna's words are conquered because he always chants the glories of his devotees. So Krishna always glorifies his devotees. That is Krishna's mission of fulfilling his word. And then Krishna, how is his mind controlled? His mind is controlled just by thinking of his devotees. So we see here, in this particular verse, that Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was able to conquer Krishna. In fact, Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Krishna, please stay in our kingdom for a little longer. Krishna was fully obliged and he was willing to stay in the kingdom of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira, his only sole purpose of performing Rajasuya Yajna was not to inherit a great empire. In history, we have seen so many empires, but they go away. But Yudhisthira Maharaj wasn't such kind of historian person. He was a great devotee. He didn't want to show himself that he was the lord of everyone. No. He performed his Rajasuya Yajna so that he can bring Krishna in the midst of the assembly and fully glorify Krishna. So he is considered the greatest preacher. That's why we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would preach to kings or very, very popular people. Srila Prabhupada himself did that with George Harrison. Because by educating the hierarchies, then the common men also get benefits. Because the hierarchies, if they change their consciousness, they are able to influence the subjects or the citizens. But if the hierarchy is polluted, then obviously the citizens will also take the same sort of consciousness that of the leaders in the society. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was a perfect he was considered Raja Rishi, or not only a Raja, not only a king, but a saintly king, because his consciousness was Krishna consciousness. And he was able to influence the whole citizens by glorifying Krishna. That was his sole purpose, that he wanted to glorify Krishna. He wanted to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna, on the other hand, he was thinking, oh, Yudhisthira Maharaj, I should make sure that this Rajasuya Yajna is perfectly performed. In fact, when there was going to be a bloodshed, the Shishupa was going to attack, he wanted to spoil the whole Rajasuya Yajna, as beautifully explained by Aniruddha Prabhu. Krishna made sure that Shishupa didn't spoil any of the yajna utensils. So he cut Shishupa's head such a way not even a drop of blood fell on the ground. And later on, Krishna personally made sure that his yagya went peacefully, rested. And later on, we know Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Krishna to stay back. And Krishna did stay because he got conquered by Yudhisthira Maharaj's love. This is the highest love. Yudhisthira Maharaj, not only was he a devotee, but he was also expert in all different departments. He was expert in how he dealt with other devotees, how he dealt with persons performing yajna, as mentioned here. Those who perform yajna, you must give some sort of remuneration, or if you can't, say thank you. That must be a gratitude. So here Yudhisthira Maharaj is giving generous gift because he's the king. He has so much opulence, so he's able to give so much opulence to the person performing the yajnas. Yudhisthira Maharaj is an emblem of devotional qualities. This concept of dedicating one's mind, body and words to Krishna is a very, very difficult concept. It's not so easy to embrace it. That is why, in order to understand how to engage one's body, mind and words, one must seek a person who knows or who is already engaging their body, mind, words in Krishna service. And this Yudhisthira Maharaj, he saw that he perfectly related with devotees also. He had this loving exchange, he would take guidance from them, and so forth. In fact, Krishna does explain that those who say that I am yours, even once if they say I'm sold out to you, Krishna says, if you say that I'm sold out to you, doesn't matter whether what was your past, doesn't matter what is your birth. If you say once, I'm sold out to you, I will immediately accept you. In fact, Krishna explains, even if an enemy, my enemy who has done most outrageous things, like Ravana stole Sita, even if he comes and tells me, or he just says, I'm yours now, Krishna says, I will give such a devotee full protection. I will make sure eternally he is protected. But Krishna is more pleased when a person surrenders to his devotees. Yudhisthira Maharaj's motive was not only to please Krishna, but also to please his devotees. And Krishna says, those who please my devotees are actually my devotees, truly. They are my devotees. It's not a philosophical thing. We should actually understand this with proper intelligence. That is, by serving Krishna's devotee, this is what makes Krishna pleased. That satisfies Krishna. One must not only obey the orders, not only serve the devotees, but they must follow the instructions given by the devotees intelligently. So Krishna explains the process of how we should serve such devotee. Sadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnana jnanina sattva darshana. One must be submissive, number one. Number two, one must inquire from such a devotee. And number three, one must render service. So these three must be combined. It must be combined. One must be humble, one must inquire, and one must do service. One other, if you have two but not the third one, then it's not complete. One must be humble. One must inquire. One should not remain a fool. At the same time, one should render service. But if you render service being very proud and you think that you know everything, then that is also not good. So it has to be three items in it. One must be submissive, one must inquire, one must render service. So if you do not inquire, then you will remain a fool. And we should not be a fool, we should not be a blind follower. In this regard, there's a beautiful small story which I told to Nanda Mandir Prabhu and Uddhava previously. It's of one disciple and one guru. So his guru was going to go from one town to another town to do a presentation and do a debate. So he asked that disciple to come on the horse with him. The guru knew that he was a bit crazy on his head. Guru said, "You get on the horse and hold my book. Make sure you hold my book. Is that okay?" And the disciple says, "Okay." So the guru starts off riding on the horse, and behind him was his disciple. After a few kilometers, the guru turns back and he looks at the disciple and he says, "Where are the books?" And the disciple says, "Oh, some of the books fell down on the street a few kilometers away." The guru says, "What did you tell me?" The disciple said, "Well, you told me not to talk, that's what I talk." He rendered service, but he didn't do it with intelligence. So the guru had to go back, collect his books, and then guru said, "Anything that falls from the horse, you must pick it up." So they were going further onwards, and while they were going, the horse had to do his daily nature calls. So the disciple got down with his chatter. And the guru said, "What are you doing?" The disciple said, "I'm following your instruction." So he was acting stupidly again. He didn't use his intelligence. The guru said, "Oh, what a fool I have with me." So the guru said, "Okay, I'll give you the list, what you should pick up, what you should not pick up." So he gave a whole list to the disciple. So the guru went on, and suddenly he hit a branch and he fell down unconscious. So the disciple got down and he was looking at his list. So the books are not fallen, they're okay, they're on the horse. This thing is okay, this is on the horse. Okay, everything is on the horse. So he took the horse and he went off with the guru down there. So we should not act foolishly. One must have a sincere desire. That sincere desire is to please guru. We shouldn't, or to please the devotees. We should not make a comedy, comical relationship with devotees. We should sincerely see that we want to learn how to serve Krishna with our body, how to serve Krishna with our mind, how to serve Krishna with our words. That should be the focus of a devotee. A devotee thinks that I will do service greater than any time, but I want to remain the last in the list. Like, for example, if you're distributing books, I want to do so much books, more than anyone in ISKCON, but I want to see that my name is the last in the list. I want to be the servant of everyone. Everyone should do better books than me. That should be the attitude of the devotee, that they are humble servants. They are humble servants of all the Vaishnavas. I want the other devotees to sing. I want the other devotees to chant Hare Krishna. I want the other devotees to speak about Krishna. And I just want to hear. I just want to follow such a devotee. I want to just follow their instruction. This is actually considered selfless attitude. That is considered servantship. That is considered vritya, vritya, vritya. Servant of the servant of the servant. Being a servant of Krishna or Krishna's devotee doesn't mean, "Oh, he's looking at me, look, I'm doing such nice service." No. Devotee means humble devotee means that he will do all background service which no one recognizes, no one will see. Ultimately to please Krishna, ultimately to please the devotees. Not to fan their prestige, not to fan their pride. That is actually considered to be the servant of the servant. It's not a physical thing, it is a mental thing also. In fact, Sri Siddhartha Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling to South India, he took two good qualities from each sampradaya. One of the sampradaya, the Sri sampradaya is where Krishna gives knowledge to Lakshmi Devi or Sri, and Sri Lakshmi Devi passes on this knowledge to others. Just as in our sampradaya, Krishna gives the knowledge to Lord Brahma gives to Narada Muni and so forth, and we get this knowledge. So Sri Siddhartha Mahaprabhu, he took two main important things from each sampradaya and he established in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And in Sri Sampradaya, he took these two special ones. That is, how to render deity worship, and another one is how to have a wonderful relationship with devotees. The Sri Vaishnavas, if you know the history of Sri Vaishnavas, you can see such deep, loving relationship with the disciples and gurus, with devotees to another devotee. In fact, it's just mind-blowing. Ramanujacharya had one disciple whose name was Koresh. Koresh, in order to protect his guru, Ramanujacharya, he personally made sure that his life was at a risk, not his guru's life. In fact, he sacrificed his own eyes just to save Ramanujacharya. So in Sri Sampradaya, you find so many wonderful relationships among devotees. Such mind-blowing relationship. And one pastime which comes to my mind, which I heard from His Holiness Radhana Swami, is there was one simple, very simple person, a Shudra. He was very simple. He had great, great appreciation to one very, very exalted devotee. His name was Kanchipurna. So he would serve Kanchipurna whatever way he could. He would pay obeisances to him, sometimes wash his clothes, and do whatever menial service he could. So one day, the simple person, the simple Shudra, he went to Kanchipurna and he said, "You always talk with Krishna in his form as Varadaraj. Why don't you please go and ask Krishna? Please ask him, when can I go to the spiritual world? When can I go to Vaikuntha?" So Kanchipurna said, "Okay, I will go and ask." So that day he was fanning Lord Krishna very nicely. And then he asked Lord Krishna, "Oh Krishna, this simple Shudra, he came and asked me, when will he go to the spiritual world? Please can you tell me?" Krishna spoke to Kanchipurna and he said, "That simple person, that Shudra, he will go to the spiritual world after giving up this body, and I will personally with my own form, I will personally take him to the spiritual world. I will take him to Vaikuntha." Krishna said, "In fact, anyone who serves you, Kanchipurna, anyone who serves you, I will take them to the spiritual world without any delay. There's no question for it." So Kanchipurna went and related. The next day, Kanchipurna, he was fanning Krishna. But in his heart to heart, he had a question. But he didn't want to ask. He was very, very shy. But he wanted to ask. And that desire was pushing him. Till finally he asked Krishna, "Oh Krishna, please can you tell me, when will I go to the spiritual world?" He was very shy. "When will I go to the spiritual world?" So Krishna said, "You? I said in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yadam akrapadyante tam tutai vajamyaham. If you want me to speak, I will speak. If you do my personal service, I will reciprocate accordingly. But because, Kanchipurna, you never served a devotee, you haven't served a Vaishnava, I will not take you to the spiritual world. So that day, Kanchipurna left that fan and went to Sri Ranga. From Kanchipuram to Sri Ranga is around 300 kilometers or so. I'm not sure, something around there. So he walked. He walked from Kanchipuram to Sri Ranga. That day he left his service, immediately walked. So he went in disguise, so no one could recognize him. So he entered in Sri Rangam. He went to a house, and the house of Mahapurna. He was also a great devotee. So when he went to the house of Mahapurna, he immediately started serving Mahapurna. He would take care of the cows of Mahapurna and take them to graze in the fields. And whatever way he would try to serve Mahapurna. Mahapurna, he grew so much affection to Kanchipurna, which he didn't know who he was. He started calling him, "My boy, please do this. My boy, please do that. Please clean the dishes. Please wash my clothes. Please do this. Please do that." He was personally taking such intimate, deep relationship with Kanchipurna. So, like this, for several months, Kanchipurna was serving Mahapurna. Mahapurna didn't know anything. One day, it happened so, a heavy storm came about, heavy rain, and his clothes got drenched. Who? Whose clothes got drenched? Kanchipurna's clothes. I want to see how attentive I am. He's sleeping. Kanchipurna's clothes got drenched. So he came, and it was really late at night. No one knew anything, what was going on. And all his clothes got drenched. Only clothes he had. He was staying in a simple house. Only clothes he had was his clothes, his uniform, his Vaishnava uniform. So he put that on and he was chanting the names of the Lord. Meanwhile, Mahapurna was in anxiety. He was thinking, "Oh, Kanchipurna, he must be soaked. He had no clothes. It was really late at night." So Mahapurna was in deep anxiety. He didn't know it was Kanchipurna. He was thinking, "Oh, this servant of mine, he must be suffering. He must be cold." So he went to see him in his hut where he was staying to give him some clothes. But when he entered, he saw Kanchipurna. He was thinking, "What? Kanchipurna, did you make me get you to serve me? I am supposed to be following your footsteps. This is the instruction of my Guru Maharaj, Yamunacharya. What am I doing? What an offense I have committed." He immediately fell flat on the ground, paying obeisances. And Kanchipurna also fell down, paying obeisances. Mahapurna was crying. Kanchipurna was crying. They were embracing each other, saying obeisances again and again and again. And Mahapurna said, "Please don't do this. Please go back and do your service and serve Varadaraj Krishna. Please go back." So Kanchipurna took the leave of Mahapurna and he headed off to Kanchipuram. Then he started fanning Krishna again. And Krishna told him, "You're qualified to go to Goloka Vrindavan. You're qualified to go to the spiritual world." So it's not a mental thing that serving devotees actually pleases Krishna. It is a factual thing. It is a true thing. And that has to be established firmly in our consciousness. When we establish that firmly in our consciousness, that, and we have that strong faith that simply by serving Krishna's devotees, Krishna will be pleased. If we have that dedication, that attitude is in our consciousness, then surely you can see the result. You get more mercy than personally serving Krishna. So, it is recommended whether we are ragatmika or pure devotees who we have dedicated our mind, body, words in fully Krishna service, or whether we are trying to dedicate our mind, body, words in Krishna service as sadhakas or neophytes, we should nevertheless follow the footsteps of great acharyas headed by Srila Prabhupada. In fact, we are known as Rupanugas or one who followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. So we should be humble servants of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami, and the other Vaishnavas, men, and our spiritual masters, of course. So when we have that attitude, that we sincerely want to serve them, we want to do something that will please them, we do that, and then Krishna will make our spiritual journey, spiritual life very easy. And to cross over this material ocean of birth and death will just become insignificant, just as water contained in the calf hoofprint. The ocean will shrink to the size of the calf hoofprint just by taking shelter of Krishna's devotee. In fact, if you read Nectarum Instruction, Srila Prabhupada explains that what is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, my spiritual master, Prabhupada said. He said that if one doesn't chant 64 rounds every day, he is considered patita. He is considered fallen. But Srila Prabhupada said, what can I do, you know? He said, we are already fallen, we understand that. But we should make sure that we chant 16 rounds. We should perform menial service as much as possible. Then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Patita Pavan, deliverer of fallen soul, will deliver us. Because Prabhupada has given us a procedure what we should do. Minimum 16. So we sincerely follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings, sincerely try to please our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada and all the other Vaishnavas, then surely, no doubt, very surely, you'll reach Krishna, you'll attain your desired goal, Krishna prayer. Srila Prabhupada says, we should not minimize anyone. In fact, in this temple, you have heard many times, Prabhupada said, even a guest, come, you should respect them. You don't know whether they could be Narada Muni, or they could be some exalted great personality. We should always offer respect to each and every one. That should be the attitude of a devotee. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Guruji?
One comment.
Please tell me.
Excellent class.
Is there any other? Thank you. Yes, Madhiji?
In the marathon, the Sahara Bhutanese marathon, there was one of the leading disciples of Radha Maharaj and the Chaukati temple. He came to Radha Maharaj and he was saying that he was asking for mercy. He was saying that the devotees who wanted to go on Sankirtan, they had the desire to be the elect of Bhagavad-gita.
100,000.
And he was asking for Radha Maharaj's blessing. And Radha Maharaj was saying, he has my blessing, so this being said when he got my ego, and if he has my blessing, I have forgotten he was an ultimate leader, the lack of my ego, and to have the biggest result of him in India. He was saying, and if he has my blessing, he's a law. And then for completion marathon, so
yeah.
He was, and this, the devotee was a little bit shocked about the second blessing. So, and Radha Maharaj was just expressing in that way, he said, you know, he was kind of giving the gopis to us, how the gopis are like
Krishna,
yeah,
and Radharani.
Yeah, Krishna, yeah. And Radharani, yeah, the gopis are Krishna. The question I have is that we often have this mentality that if I don't get the best regulation, the first flight, and we always end up, again, with the kind of sad carry that we think if we don't come first, then the else will come first. It's a very nihilistic conception. How can we free ourselves from that and find out this reflection of pushing out that the road between Krishna and God pushing ourselves?
A very deep question, very nice question also. This point I'm also struggling. that tendency, more easier than giving up any sort of material opulence or any sort of gross element, is this disease called pratishtha or recognition. That is the most difficult. But we should sincerely pray to Nityananda Prabhu. We should sincerely pray to Radha Vallabha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please, please, let me just serve the Vaishnavas. Let me just serve the devotees. And whatever way you should try to serve the devotees. Whatever way you can. However way you should try to serve them. Whatever way. That you should plan yourself, how can I serve devotees? If you do this, that I want to serve the devotees and probably serve their prasadam, probably clean their place, probably do this, probably do that, then Krishna will surely make that process very fast for you. He will make sure that prestige within the heart will go away. But nevertheless, one should not be lazy and not do their best, thinking, oh, let other devotees come first, I'll just lay back. No, that should not be the mood. You should also do, as a humble servant, you should try to put your best to propagate Krishna consciousness as much as possible. Yes? And you should inspire others. Your whole motive in doing book distribution is to inspire others that they also come and do books. You should make sure, you should show them that this is the most relishable activity. That sort of impression you should give to them. That this service, what I'm doing, is so wonderful. You should also please take it up. So that encouragement should be there. But at the same time, in order to wash away any sort of material disease within the heart, we should serve the Vaishnavas, we should chant Hare Krishna more attentively. Especially whenever that thought comes, pratishtha comes, you close your ears and you shut your mouth and your mind and go, Shri Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. You gotta say this. Like when someone blasphemes Krishna, you go, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. To make it auspicious again. Because they have created an inauspicious environment. So within our mind, they can also be inauspicious environment. So you gotta suddenly mind and go, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Let me do something more practical. Let me go and clean the devotees' clothes or serve prasadam. Pure devotees especially. You should do this especially to the pure devotees. You make more advancement. You've got to do some practical, you have to have some practical tips. You've got to make that plan. You've got to make that decision and act on it. And then slowly, eventually, that pratishtha or that prestige will be taken away. Not by our own endeavor, but by Krishna's help and by the help of the devotees. We can never give up this, really. But by taking shelter of Krishna's devotees, Krishna, they are able to pull out any sort of inauspiciousness within the heart. Krishna is situated within the heart. And he is the closest to your heart, and he can see all the disease you have, and he can also see your attitude. And if he sees your attitude is good, then he will clean your heart personally. So that we should try to imbibe within our consciousness, within our heart, as much as possible. To be humble servants. In fact, you were saying this beautiful example that the gopis, especially Manjaris, they want the gopis to go front of Krishna. They want Radharani to go in front of Krishna. Although Radharani is always in close proximity with Krishna, nevertheless, the Manjaris derive a greater satisfaction than that of Radharani derives of Krishna. In fact, Radharani herself, she says, "Oh Krishna, he is a better devotee than me. Please accept him or her." This is also the mood of Radharani. Very nice example. Thank you. Any other? Yes?
You use the word Pratishtha 6 or 7 times. Does everybody know Pratishtha means?
Pratishtha means?
Prophet, adoration, distinction.
Very good.
For everyone.
Thank you. Very nice.
Prophet, adoration.
Any other questions? Yes, Mani.
Hare
Krishna. What does it mean? Sometimes it may be a hard one. Sometimes it's an easygoing one. If one is a devotee, he practices Krishna consciousness sincerely, then Krishna apparently makes this, you know, he says that sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam saranam raja aham kam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami master cha. Krishna says, if you surrender unto me, I will take care of all your sinful reactions. Huh? He says that. But sometimes, you have a desire for certain objects. Yeah? But because you serve Krishna, nevertheless, you may not give up the desire for the particular attachment you have. And it can be painful for you sometimes. It can be very painful. That is one way of understanding. Sometimes you see devotees suffer from so many sort of diseases as such, sometimes. Yes? So Krishna, he makes what is, originally we may deserve something which is much more greater than what we have. Like for example, if we have a cut in our finger, we're supposed to have originally cut, have our hand cut, but Krishna minimizes that. In that way. And sometimes devotee comes and speaks to you, actually Prabhuji, you're doing something which is wrong. And it might hurt you, it might be like arrows piercing your heart. Very sharp arrows. So it might hurt you, but it is Krishna telling you this. So Krishna, he appears in different ways in order to purify his devotees. Somehow or other. Like for example, I'll give you a practical example which is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj, when Vamanadeva approached Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj gave pretty much whole world. He said, take the 3 steps of land. Shukracharya said, don't do this. You don't know what you're doing. You're a fool. He is Vishnu. His 3 steps will mean he will take over everything within a step or two. And what are you going to do? You will not fulfill this promise. Bali Maharaj was thinking, well, what is wrong? My father, Virochana, the demigods approached him, and Virochana was asked, again, the demigods disguised as Brahmanas and asked, Virochana said, what benediction do you want? And demigods said, well, I want the whole kingdom and I want you to be killed. Virochana said, okay, I'll go for it. So Bali Maharaj's attitude was, oh well, Virochana gave everything and then he killed himself, but his physical body may be killed, but his fame is still there. So Bali Maharaj was thinking, well, doesn't matter, I'll give out everything of this world, but my fame will be there, that I am the greatest charity giver. Vamanadeva could dictate this. Ah, there's a problem within you. So after taking over the whole creation, and then he summoned Bali Maharaj. He bound him like an animal, as explained. He had the rope bound in midst of the assembly. His grandfather Prahlad Maharaj was there. Oh, how could it be so embarrassing? It could be so embarrassing. So many, his own guru Shukracharya is there, whom he disobeyed in the midst of the whole assembly. And he was, at one point of the time, he was the king of the universe. And another time, he was like an animal bound out with ropes. So, Vamana then said, "So, where is my third step? You said you were going to give me the third step. You didn't give me." The whole point Vamanadev created this whole situation was to eradicate that last bit of pratishtha, that I will be famous for being the charity giver. So that's why he bound him with ropes. So we can have such kind of experiences, embarrassing experiences. But nevertheless, Bali Maharaj, he was very, very humble. In fact, when Prahlad Maharaj appeared, he wanted to prostrate, he wanted to pay obeisances to Prahlad Maharaj. But because he was bound with rope, he bowed his head as an indication that he was paying his obeisances to Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather. And he was very appreciative to what Vamanadev did. He said to Vamanadev, "Actually, I'm wrong within myself. I haven't fulfilled my promise. I haven't given you the three step of land. Please, therefore, put that third step on my head." When Vamanadev put that third step on his head, then he was considered Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajan. He was considered a great devotee. So, we don't know how Krishna will purify us. But whether Krishna, as explained in the last verse of Shishtashtakam, what is that verse? In English translation? What is the translation of the... Pardon me? What is the first word? Roughly by his embrace, or make me broken hearted by not being present before me. So we don't know what is Krishna's situation. So Krishna's mercy can come in different ways. But nevertheless, as Lord Brahma says, whatever way it comes, a devotee should get his two hands together and continuously pray to Krishna. Samashritaye padapa. There's a famous verse in that regard, and also in the 10th canto. Thank you very much. One really quick one for you.
You're talking about Bali.
Maharaj Bali.
And one more is Karn. Who is the biggest donor?
Krishna. Krishna is the biggest donor because everything belongs to Krishna. Karna, he is giving Krishna's property. So Krishna is the biggest donor. Krishna is giving you the sun. Are you paying back to Krishna? Mm-hmm. Krishna is giving you the air. Are you paying back to Krishna?
In the history.
In history, Krishna is the biggest donor. That is a fact. Because Krishna is giving us everything. Like for example, if we are in a room and we are using a light, we have to pay the bill. Isn't it? If we don't pay the bill, then court case or in punishment. But when Krishna is giving us all this facility, what are we giving him? So Krishna is the biggest donor. Everything belongs to Krishna. Karna, apparently through his karma, he had something during that life. But all that thing which he had was given by Krishna. And Karna, he gave good charity, no doubt. He was a good person in that regard.
And one more thing, when we talk about Shishupal,
yes,
we come to know that destiny and fate,
yes,
are more important in the life. And it has never been changed by the body one. Lord Krishna, he never came in between the destiny and fate. Whatever written in the destiny and fate,
it
may be converted in a flower. A stone has to come from the hill and that will touch you. It may convert like a flower and it will touch you, but it will have to touch you. This gives the preaching that destiny and fate is definite.
Karma is there, you're correct. There is karma. There's also the minute independence. Like for example, you can have a glass of water, you can have a glass of alcohol. So you can choose what you want. And according to what you choose, that is the destiny. If you choose alcohol, then you'll be drunk and you'll be in problems. If you choose water, then you'll be healthy.
No, I'm not talking about
that. I'm just saying, destiny means karma. The karma means whatever you choose, that is the reaction you'll get. So you have the choice, Krishna or Krishna's energy. So if you choose Krishna, then it's good for you. If you choose Krishna's energy, then it's not good for you. So you make the choice, and according to the choice you make, you get the destiny, and in other words, karma. This is explained in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, we are minute, we are anu. Anu means small. Krishna is big. Krishna has all independence. We are anu, so we have small independence. But we can choose. Just as Krishna has independence, we can also have independence because we are conscious beings. We are living entities with consciousness. We are not like cup. We are living entities with consciousness. We can make decisions. So we can make the choice, what do you want to do? You want to serve Krishna or you want to serve Krishna's energy? If you serve Krishna's energy, again, janma mrityu jara vyadi, dukkha loyam, dukkha dosha anudarshanam, birth, old age, disease and death. You don't actually solve the problem by taking shelter of Krishna's energy. Again you have to be born, again the same problem, study, and then this problem, my leg is paining, my head is problem, I have to go to hospital. Again you have to face this, again and again, and I have cancer, what should I do? This is the nature of the material world. So that choice you can make, everyone can make, not only you, even me. I can choose right now whether I want to be Krishna conscious or whether I want to serve Krishna's energy. Serve Krishna's energy, then you pay the price for it. If you serve Krishna, then Krishna will reward you. Like Arjuna, he had a choice whether he wanted to do the fighting for Krishna or he could give up the battle. But because Arjuna chose to fight in the battlefield of Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, he got spiritual benefit. He went Goloka Vrindavan. He went to Krishna's planet. So you choose. Anyone can choose. In this assembly, everyone can choose. In this creation, anyone can choose. But the destiny will be determined according to what choice you make. Just like if you drink alcohol, you get drunk. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Gaura Premanandi.